Hebrews 11 and verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You know, this lady here, and you can look back in Josh, we're not going to do that necessarily for the service this morning, but in Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6, we read about Rahab and how that she had hidden the spies. She had heard about the children of Israel coming over, and she knew that the Lord, He was God, that He was a God that ruled in heavens and the earth, and she told the spies that the hearts of those in Jericho had melted because they knew what had happened at the Red Sea, and they knew about the conquest that Moses had on the other side of the River Jordan, and also no doubt that they had witnessed the parting of the River Jordan as the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. And so Rahab is an example of faith that is given. In fact, in the Hebrews Hall of Faith, there are only two women that are mentioned in this account of the great heroes of faith. That is Sarah, Abraham's wife, because she received strength to bear Isaac, and also Rahab, who by faith hid the two spies. Also in the book of James, you can look there if you want to. In the book of James, we talk about example of faith, a faith that is a faith that works. And Abraham is used as an example of a person who has a faith in the Lord that works. And also Rahab is referred to as well. And James chapter 2 and verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There are some people that believe that the book of James teaches that you are justified by works, but you have to take it in context. Paul the Apostle, he talks about faith. We're justified by faith before God. Abraham was justified by faith in the Ur of the Chaldees when he put his faith in the Lord, but he was justified by works before men. Because, see, you can't see what's in a person's heart. You can only see what they do. So James bears out that a saving faith is a working faith. And so Abraham was justified before men when he offered up Isaac his son. And Rahab was justified by works before men when she took a bold stand to hide the two spies that had come in from the children of Israel. And I want to mention this, that the faith that saves is a faith that's going to work. You're going to do, when you get saved, you're going to do something for the Lord. You say, well, I had a little profession of faith, and then I'm going to go out here and I'm going to cheat on my wife and pull a drunk and all that. No, you didn't have saving faith. Now, amen. Because a faith that is a faith that does. Rahab had a faith in the Lord that changed her lifestyle. Rahab, in fact, if you look back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we have different people that are mentioned. We have Enoch that is mentioned, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Isaac is mentioned, Jacob is mentioned. In verse 30, when we look at the generation of the Israelites, the generation after Moses that had crossed the River Jordan and into the promised land, it said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now I want you to think about some of the great people that were in that company. Joshua, who is their general and leader, 80 years old, was one of the two. Caleb was the other, the only two men that survived the previous generation. That they were men that wholly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Joshua, you have Caleb, that he took that mountain. You have his daughter, you have his son-in-law, Othniel, who was of the next generation that led Israel out of bondage and out of apostasy. And so we have some great people that are in this march that are taking Jericho. But only one person is mentioned that is an example of faith. And that would have been probably the last person that anybody would have mentioned. And that was Rahab, who perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Let me tell you this. God sees things differently than man. Rahab is an excellent example of faith. In fact, if you think about this, can you imagine that going to heaven, and yes, I'm Rahab the harlot. I mean, can you being known for all eternity as a harlot? I mean, that's not exactly a good name to have tied to your name. Am I right about that? I mean, here is a lady that has probably gone to the lowest point. You know, you cannot go to a lower point, a female, than to provide themselves at the pleasure of other people. And I just want to mention this, that many people that get involved in this type of business and industry, in the porn industry, many of them are abused and go through a lot of things. I remember looking at an article of a lady that had got involved in this type of business, of this type of lifestyle, and was bragging about it, how fulfilling and how wonderful it was. And she had paid her way through college. And then I remember seeing an article, this same lady, a few years after that all of that was just to show that really, that she having a lot of problems. There was, people abuse her and misuse her, and that she was really having a whole lot of problems. So I mentioned this, and to try not to push the envelope on things to talk about on the radio and to talk about in a mixed congregation. But I just want to mention particularly to our young ladies that this is not a way that you want to go. You will ruin your life, and you'll bring a lot of heartache and heartbreak in your life if you follow this pattern. Rahab had a lot of heartache. She was no doubt the person that men would meet, that would meet secretly, and that no man's wife would want to have anything to do with, that she was a woman of ill repute. There's some that try to say that, that really the word harlot, the Hebrew word, was an innkeeper, but you can't really do that. She was the lowest, probably, and about as low as a person can go. But let me tell you this, it doesn't matter how low a person can go, the grace of God can reach down and save them and put them on the highest plane. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something about, of all of that generation, she's the only one named. God, in His inspiration, told Paul when he wrote the book of Hebrews, I want you to make sure you put Rahab's name down so that people can see she's an excellent example of saving faith. Amen. And when the book of James was written and he talks about Abraham, the father of faith, not only for the Hebrew, but also for the Christian. And he says, you make sure you put Rahab down there with her as an excellent example of faith. I mean, in fact, when you go back and look through here, that Rahab is in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one person that could pick their parents, and that was the Lord. You know, sometimes, and I couldn't have picked better parents, but I mean, just like we're stuck with the children that we have, we're stuck with the parents that we have. You understand that? We didn't have a choice in the matter. But yet Jesus, of the women that are listed in the genealogy of Matthew, were women that had been redeemed. I mean, you think about Tamar. She had an incestuous relationship, with her father-in-law. You look at Ruth. She was a Moabitess. Rahab was a harlot, and yet all of them are named in Jesus's genealogy as examples of faith. Bathsheba had an adulterous relationship with David, and not only that, but it was her son Solomon who was a descendant who Jesus Christ descended from. Rahab, it is according to tradition, had married Salmon. Well, Salmon was the father. Rahab was the mother of Boaz. And we read about in the book of Ruth. And I think about Rahab after she had hidden those spies. And Salmon was one of those spies, and he owed his life to her. And that debt of gratitude turned into love. And he married Rahab. And then they had Boaz. And Boaz, when he met Ruth, see, Rahab is an example of a person that had nothing, that in Christ has everything, that had true love for the Lord. And so Boaz, I can imagine this, as Boaz was growing up, and they see that scarlet line that was laid on the mantelpiece in that Jewish home. And he said, Mama, what does that scarlet thread mean? And she probably with tears in her eyes said, Well, son, let me tell you, I was identified with a group of people that were condemned, and I was corrupt in my lifestyle. But then I heard about the God of Israel, and I put my faith and trust in Him. And then your dad and another spy came by, and I hit him. And then we got married. And let me tell you, that scarlet thread judgment came, and because I was under the shadow of the Almighty God and His provision, I am saved and I'm here today. Amen. And Boaz no doubt saw, he didn't think of Rahab as a harlot. That was his mother, and she was a godly woman. Amen. And you know, God's grace can take a harlot and turn them into a housewife, and take a person of ill repute and make them a member of high society. Amen. God can take and reach down to the lowest depths and put them on the highest heights. Praise God. And Boaz, when he saw Ruth, here's another lady, Moab. I mean, they're enemies of Israel, but she's come to put her trust in the Lord. And Boaz said, there's somebody like my mama, an outcast that loves the Lord, and I think I'm going to marry her. Amen. Hey, Rahab was a mother. I mean, she was from a, you know, from being a madam to a mom. Amen. God was good. Let me tell you some things about Rahab. She was of a generation that was condemned. The iniquity of the people that lived in the promised land had come to the full. They were wicked and ungodly, and judgment was coming. And Rahab had heard, no doubt, from people that had come through her house talking about Israel going through the Red Sea and Egypt's army is drowned. And then they had gone through the wilderness wanderings. They had the kings on the east side of Jordan that were destroyed by the army. As they watched the army march through, Israel marched through the River Jordan, their hearts did melt. Jericho was shut up. Nobody could go in and go out. And Rahab, many of them, in spite of the judgment they knew was coming, hardened their hearts, but not Rahab. Rahab knew that she was of a condemned society, of a condemned race, and she said, I'm going to put my faith and trust in the God of Israel, and somehow He's going to take care of me. Hey, let me tell you, you and I are a member of a condemned race, the human race. All is sin that comes short of the glory of God. You can be a religious sinner, you can be a rotten sinner, and without Christ you'll go to the same hell. But Jesus Christ, who loved us, He came to this world, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless, perfect life, went to the cross, died for you and me, shed His blood, went to the grave, rose again, so that you and I could be saved. We are like Rahab. We are a condemned generation, and judgment is coming. But yet I'm thankful that there was a time that I called on the Lord and He saved me. I saw the brother Batman just a minute ago. He said he saw a sign out Midwest that said even mosquitoes know that there's power in the blood. Hey, the mosquitoes know better than some revs. Amen. Hey, I'm going to heaven not because of my preaching. Thank God on that, by the way, because I'm not that great. And I'm going to heaven because of the blood. Amen. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there was a time as a sinner that I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved me by the grace of God. And that's the only way you're going to go. You're not going to get there by reverend or deacon or anything else. You get there by the blood as a sinner that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rahab, she was of a condemned generation, and she put her faith and trust in the God of Israel that brought her out of condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation nation of them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God has brought us as redeemed ones from a place of condemnation to, hallelujah, a place of no separation. Hey, she was corrupt. Corruption. She was living a life of ill repute. She was living a very immoral lifestyle. And she was about as low as a woman could go. She was corrupt in her lifestyle. But she, realizing that not only was she of a condemned race, under condemnation of sin, but her personal life, she was corrupt. Now, you do not have to be a harlot to be corrupt. All you have to do is to be a sinner. That's all you have to do, is to be a sinner. We can look at some people. We can look at somebody like Rahab and say, oh, yes, there goes a sinner that is in need of a Savior. But what about the respectable church member that has never trusted Christ? What about the respected person that is affluent in society? What about the respected politician or the social leader or the leader in education? What about the person that sings in the choir or that gets involved in doing good things? Many times people fail to realize in our community everybody's saved. You can run into most everybody, I'm saved, as they're chugging their Budweiser or doing whatever they're doing. They say, oh, I'm saved. Hey, a salvation that'll deliver you out of hell will deliver you out of a life of sin. What about those secret sins? You know, you can look good. Everybody can look good you can look good in a good suit of clothes. What about those besetting sins that only you and God know? Okay? Those evil thoughts that you have. You know, that adultery you commit in your heart. Okay? You wouldn't never do it or say it, but you'll sure think it. And Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, none of us have probably murdered anybody, but Jesus said, if you hate your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder. Now, you know, if you hate me without a cause, I mean, don't go ahead and go through with it, amen, because I'll survive it if you just think it. But still, hatred in your heart. Hey, the person that calls someone thou fool is in danger of hellfire. Jesus said, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Look it up in the book of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 4 through 7. And look and read it for yourself. The thing I'm pointing out here is that you do not have to be a woman or a man of ill repute to be corrupt. You're corrupt in your own nature. Our righteousness, the very best we can do is as filthy rags in the sight of God, because even the best that we can do is corrupted by our sin nature. Hey, you can even be you could have even grown up in this church. You could have been baptized and a member of this church and been here from the time that you could have to look up to a tadpole and still die and go to hell if you haven't received Christ. Because it's not being a member of a church and being baptized and doing good works that saves. You have a corrupt nature. You have a sin nature. We all have been bitten by the serpent of sin and therefore have the death sentence within ourselves, and we need deliverance. I don't say that to be mean. I say that to warn you so that you will have an opportunity to get saved. There's some of you that are under the sound of my voice that you have heard over and over and over again about how to be saved, and yet you've never come to know Christ as your Savior. You're under condemnation. There is judgment coming. We're going through the book of Revelation in Sunday school, and it talks about the judgment of God that is going to come upon this unrepentant world during the 7-year tribulation period. But even if you don't make it to that and die before that, a person that dies without Christ dies and they go to hell. Why? Because you're condemned. You say, preacher, you're condemning me. No, I didn't do that. Jesus didn't come to condemn but to save. And the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already. I don't have to condemn you. You're already condemned. We preach the gospel so that you can be cleansed from that condemnation and that corruption, so that you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him. Now, Rahab, who no doubt is a sinner, condemned, corrupt, but yet she heard about the God of Israel. And with what light she had, she received the God of Israel, and the Lord cleansed her. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how low you go. When God cleanses you, you, my sinner friend, are clean. Clean. Rahab, although she has carried the name harlot, is no longer a harlot. She's clean. Amen. You know, the greatest thing that I experienced after I got saved and I was driving home from my preacher's house, that I felt on the inside for the first time, I felt clean. Amen. There's something about being clean. Hallelujah. Clean on the inside. Rahab, though, she still was in the same house, in the same country, still looking at the same condemnation coming upon her fellow citizens, yet she's now clean, amen. And that's what God will do for you, my sinner friend. He'll cleanse you if you'll come to Him. Religious sinner, rotten religious, religiously rotten, whatever are you want to combine, you need the Lord as your Savior. Now, there's some of you that God has had, you're under conviction, and that you need to get saved. There's some of you that say, yeah, preacher, yeah, you know, I know better than you do. Well, let me tell you something. I'm 55, going to be 56. I've been here for 27 years. I didn't stay here for 27 years and get to be 56 being stupid. You understand what I'm saying? I've learned a thing or two. And so it's good to listen to people that have been down the road a little longer than you have. Hey, let me tell you this. I have seen friends I've been to school with. I've seen those that know the Lord and God's blessed them. I've seen those like me that, you know, that did some stuff, stupid stuff that I shouldn't have done and got saved and God delivered me out of that. And I know some that have continued on and have ruined their lives. I've seen young people come through this ministry over the years, some that have served the Lord, and then I've seen some ruin their lives. And so I give this as an admonition and warning to you that you need to get saved if you're not saved. You need to trust Christ because you're under the condemnation and corruption of sin, and the only way you'll be clean is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, there was a change in Rahab's life. When you look back in Joshua chapter 2, that she had hidden the spies among the flax on the roof. Now, you don't make roof material out of flax. See, when she got saved, when she trusted the Lord, she got out of the prostitution business. And she started making flax. See, she was, one thing about Rahab, she wasn't lazy. She started making flax, which is used for clothing, rope, and other material. And so she got involved, and she realized, you know what? This industry is going to dry up because I'm not doing this anymore. So she got into something else. There's a change in her life. There was a change in her lifestyle. No doubt the people that would come by to see her and say, hey, you know, hey, Rahab, let's get together. So no, I'm done with that. You got to find somebody else. I'm out of business. She put up, you know what? I just got this. You might not get a blessing out of this, but if there's a chandelier, I'd swing from this place right now. She got a sign put up, not for sale. Amen? Not for sale. I've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Hey, you know what? That'd be something that we need to put up. I am not for sale. I've been bought by the blood of a lamb. Amen. Praise God. Don't you want to be smarter than a mosquito? Glory to God. No, there's power in the blood. I mean, that'd be pretty bad if you're not any smarter than a mosquito. You know what I'm saying? Hey, she is cleansed. She's changed. Her lifestyle's changed. Her living's changed. I remember the story David Roth told about his brother Gary. He used to drive a beer truck. And he drove up the Truth Missionary. This was in their old building. They didn't have any parking spot. Had the Southern Baptist, the 855 steps of the columns and everything. And he had parked on a Wednesday night that Gary had parked that beer truck right smack dab. You know, I'm a redneck from Eastern North. Smack dab. That means right in front of the church. And everybody that went in that church had to go around that beer truck. And there were some people come up to Sammy Kay and they said, Sammy, somebody has come to the church and they parked a beer truck right in front of the church and everybody's got to walk around that truck. And Sammy Kay said, well, glory to God, I hope they get saved. Amen. Guess what? Gary, he did get saved. And you know what he gave up a couple of weeks after that? Driving the beer truck. Amen. He changed his living. Rahab changed her living. There is a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, where we know about Rahab was her commitment. She was condemned with a race that was condemned, corrupted by her sin, cleansed by the blood, changed by the power of God. But now there's a commitment. These two spies have come in. And they have come into Rahab's house. And Rahab has provided them lodging. And the king of Jericho has come by and has said, Rahab, we know that there are two strangers that have come in. We want you to bring them forth. And she said, well, they're not here. See, they were here and I don't know where they went. You might want to go try to look for them. Now, the king of Jericho had searched her house and found those men. He would have executed them and her. And she fully well knew that. But she was committed. She said, I'd rather die with the righteous than survive with the condemned. That's commitment. That's what got her in the Hero's Hall of Faith. See, there's a lot of people that talk about faith, but there's no commitment, no sacrifice. You know, there's a commitment that takes place when you serve the Lord. When you sign the dotted line and say, I am going to be counted as a member of the armies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was committed. She told those two spies, and you know what she did? She gave her testimony. Hey, I haven't been able to give a testimony. Let me give you my testimony. I know that your God is the God of heaven. And I know that we are condemned. And I put my trust in Him, and I want you to give me a token that I'm going to make it through this thing. And those two spies, here's what you're going to do. He said, you let us down out of this wall, and you take and bind this scarlet cord. You bind this in the window, because her house is toward the outside of the wall. And you put that scarlet thread out, and you don't tell anybody about our business. And if you do that, we'll promise that you'll be okay. And if something happens to you, your blood will be on our hand. There was a commitment. They said, it's what you do. There was a continuing. See, the two spies had said, look, this is what you're going to do. Well, she continued. She obeyed what they told her. She kept her mouth shut, amen. Now, that's kind of hard for a woman to do, amen. Of course, that's kind of hard for a lot of men to do too. Amen. I wasn't going to leave myself hanging on that one, brother. You know, I mean, my mama didn't drop me on my head when I was a baby. Hey, you might have thought that from time to time. Continuing. Hey, she did what she was told. You know how you can live a successful life for the Lord? Do what you're told. Do what He tells you in His Word. One day at a time. Live for God one day at a time. How can I hear the Lord say, well done? I live for God every day until it's the last day. Then when I do that, then I'll hear Him say, well done. Continuing. There are many of us, and I know, I think I know everybody here today. And I think I can say that every one of us in this congregation know what we ought to do. So what we ought to do is to do it. What if Rahab said, you know what, I could get a lot more money out of that scarlet cord if I sold it than put it out that window. She'd have died. What if she had told the business to the king? She would have died. But she obeyed. You know, many believers bring a lot of heartache and heartbreak in their lives simply because they will not continue in obedience to the Lord. Rahab continued. Rahab made a contribution. You know, one of the first things after a person receives the mercy of God and salvation is that they become concerned about others. She said, look, she in Joshua chapter 2, she says, look, I want protection for me. I want protection for my mom and my dad and my brothers and my sisters and my family. And those two spies said, everybody you put in this house will be protected. Hey, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, we need to be getting more people into the household of faith. Because the only way they're going to escape judgment is if they trust Christ. And it is natural for a child of God to have concern about others that need Him. The contribution she made to her family, she made the appeal. Lot made the appeal to his family and nobody listened. You know why? Because he said one thing and he did another. I believe that Rahab, her moment of saving faith was not when she received those spies. I believe that she had already had received the Lord. She had changed her life cycle. They had the flax up there. She was in a different occupation. And there was no doubt that, you know, mom and dad probably didn't have a whole lot to do with her. And the brothers and sisters didn't have a whole lot to do with her. But then they noticed something. Hey, the fellas ain't hanging around anymore. Hey, there's something going on about my daughter. There's something going on about our sister that we don't know about. And so when she went about and started telling them, look, there's judgment coming and God is going to deliver our nation and this city to the Hebrews. And the only way you're going to have protection is you come and stay in my house. And she got them all in. She got all her family in, hallelujah. Every one of them. Probably even got the cats and the dogs in there too. Amen. Not in my house because the cat and dog got a coat that meant to stay outside. Amen. But their contribution to her family. Her family is in the household of faith. The contribution that she made to Israel. Because she was true in a time when it was unpopular. You know, she was the only one in Jericho at the time that had trusted the Lord. You talk about being by yourself. She's by herself. That's why she's in the Heroes Hall of Faith. It's one thing to sing, oh, how I love Jesus, when we're in the midst of other believers in a congregation on Sunday morning. It's a whole lot different on Tuesday afternoon when you're around hell by the acre and you're the only one standing for God. Here Rahab says, I'm counted for the Lord no matter where I am. Man, what a woman of faith. What a mother. What a wonderful believer. That her contribution to Israel is that she had provided a means whereby they could get the intelligence that they needed. And then you think about this. When they marched around that city one time. Second day, one time. Up through the seventh, the sixth day, one time. Seventh day, they marched around seven times. They're blowing the ram's horns. They've got the marching band out there, and they're playing, and they shout with a great shout, and the walls fell down flat. Flat. You know, boom. Flat. Trying to get some sound effects in there. Everything fell flat, but one place. And there's a scarlet thread hanging out the window. And it was the wall that was joined to Rahab's house. And Joshua said, you go forth into the harlot's house. And you bring everybody there that's out. They brought her and her family and her brothers and sisters. They brought everybody out to set them outside of Israel. And then judgment came. Hey, there's a proof that the rapture takes place before judgment. Because they could not bring full judgment on Jericho until Rahab was out of there. Hallelujah. And then it said that she and her family dwelt with Israel even to this day. You're talking about in Joshua, in the book of Joshua. That she and her family were accepted as strangers into the covenant relationship with Israel. Her contribution to Israel. Her contribution to the kingly line. She was the mother of Boaz. And Boaz was a righteous man. He had a testimony in his generation. Why? Because he had a godly mother that brought him upright. Rahab didn't have. Rahab was brought up by heathen parents in a heathen, corrupt society. But Rahab gave her son something she didn't have, a believing mama. And mothers, there's one thing that every one of you can give to your children. You can give them a Christian mama. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I gave my children one. And you say, hey, you could be someone like Rahab. You could be someone that has, as the lady sang, a godly heritage. No matter where you are, every mother in here can give their children a godly mother. And that's the greatest gift you can give, a godly mother. You know, say, I want to be cool. Well, you know, if you try to be cool, you're going to wind up being a fool. So don't do that. Be right, amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give you an example of somebody being cool. Ladies, you're going to love this, okay? You've got some guy in a hot rod vehicle cutting donuts somewhere. You know, man, they think they're cool. How many of y'all, or what I did when I was coming up, I'd have the stereo real loud. Oh, man, we're going to make the girls, we're going to be like, ladies, how many of y'all are impressed by people that go around and spinning their tires on the car, cutting donuts, playing loud music, acting, doing so? How many of y'all are impressed by that? Raise your hand. I didn't think I'd have anybody there. Guys, when we do stupid stuff like that, we're just being a fool. We're not being cool. So when you try to be cool, you're going to be a fool. There's an excellent example of that, amen. I ain't got a bit of scripture to back it up, amen. Just a lifetime of experience, both good and bad. The good, praise God, I got saved. The bad, I'll tell you later, amen. Contribution to the kingly line. Rahab did not set out to be a great woman of faith. She just set out to be a godly woman. That's all she did. But the way life happened, that she had an opportunity, and she harbored those two spies. She married one of them. God gave them Boaz. She brought Boaz up the best she could to live for the Lord. Boaz married Ruth and had a great testimony, and down through the line, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you set out, man or woman, you get saved and you serve the Lord. Though the contribution may be minimal in the time that you live, yet the effect is through eternity. Rahab, probably, again, we're not debating, she was a woman of ill repute. But what the grace of God can do to reach down in a condemned culture with a corrupt person, cleanse them by the grace of God, change them, help them to continue. And Rahab is an example of faith to everybody here. Let me tell you, you might not be as bad as Rahab.